We open our Bibles together this morning in 1 Peter chapter 5. Reading God's Word in 1 Peter chapter 5. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God, wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, salutes you, and so does Marcus, my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. In our preparatory service this morning, I direct our attention to God's Word as it comes to us in this chapter in verse 5, the second, omitting the first clause of verse 5, beginning with the word yea, through verse 7. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we are to come to the supper of Holy Communion next Sunday morning, we must be clothed in humility. Our spiritual dress must be that of humility. This clothing of humility must not be an outfit that we have rented for the occasion. It must not be similar to, or what used to be at least in weddings, that you would rent a tux or even buy a wedding dress for that occasion and then not wear it again. But this humility that we wear must be ours. It must be our daily dress. It must be the thing that is in our heart, the grace of God. In our Lord's ministry, who was it that he would draw near to? With what sort of person would he be found in their company? Who was it that would, so to speak, gain his attention? and to whom he would spend much time and reveal his mercy? Think, run through your mind the history of our Lord's life on earth. The centurion whose servant was sick, the woman with an issue of blood, the widow who cast in two mites into the collection, the Canaanite woman whose daughter was sick. Who was it? It was the humble. Who was it in our Lord's ministry that he would cast from him? Who was it that we find him repeatedly leaving their company? It was the proud, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the self-righteous. Humility is something that we know so little of, and how woven into our hearts of flesh is our pride. We come to know our pride more and more. The moment we think that we are humble and even pride ourselves in our humility, we have lost humility. The ultimate oxymoron, contradiction in terms, is proud of our humility. And so this morning we want to bow down and we want to plead with God from our spiritual knees that he would destroy the evil monster of pride in our hearts and clothe us with humility. The common thread of this inspired scripture is obviously humility. Verses 5 and 6 mention it three times. Humble yourself. Be clothed with humility. God gives grace to the humble. And humble yourself. Obviously, we are being addressed about humility. And we see in the passage that there is a parallel, so to speak, a comparison being cast between Christ and us. And we are being taught in the passage that humility is exactly what it is to become more Christ-like. In Philippians chapter 2, you will remember that passage in which it speaks of the humility of Christ and God's exaltation of him. That he was the one who humbled himself in a way that nobody can imagine. That he is eternal, glorious God. And yet, for our sakes, became a slave. And the virgin birth was only a platform from which he would descend down into the awful death of the cross. That he voluntarily laid aside every right that he had as the eternal God, and for our sakes humbled himself, thinking not of himself, but only of us sinners, us enemies, and us ungodly. And we read in that passage, God has also highly exalted him. And so the Apostle Peter says, humble yourselves, and God in due time will exalt you. In other words, follow Christ. Follow Christ not by going to Palestine and walking on the earth and down the trails that he actually walked on, but follow Christ by being humble before God. And God, in due time, will exalt you. Let's consider this morning clothed with humility. And three simple questions. What does that mean? Why must we do that? And how do we do that? Let's see, first of all, that the command of this Word of God comes to each and every one of us. We read in verse 5, yea, that is, get this, all of you, be subject to each other and be clothed with humility. That's who God is talking to. Each and every one of us as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, not some. Not some this morning, more than others this morning. All of you, Peter, or the Holy Spirit, is putting his arms around the entire body of Christ, and he's putting his arms around each one of us this morning, and the reference is to every believer, old and young, male and female, all of you. Now, it would be good to trace in this epistle, beginning at chapter 1, verse 1, to chapter 5, verse 5, it would be good to trace how the Holy Spirit has described us. Maybe you remember chapter 1, 1 and 2, where Peter says, "Elect, we are the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. We are sprinkled in the blood of Christ. We are sanctified. We are born again unto a living hope." We are, Peter's words later on in the epistle, the second chapter, we are pilgrims and strangers. He calls us in this epistle Christian. He gives us many designations. That's who's being addressed. All of you, Christians, you. You don't need to wonder who's being addressed. It's you. It's me. You have this morning a card from Christ himself addressed to you. You may open it. I trust you have, as we read the scriptures. Your name's on it. Be clothed with humility. The word humility is in the word here by the Spirit, humility, is a rare word in the first century. Scholars tell us that the apostles, the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, coined the word. There wasn't a word for it. There was no word for this in the Roman world. This was not in their concepts. The Roman world valued those who pushed their own way. Proud achievers towering over humility as defined by Christ was not esteemed by the Roman world. They thought to walk in pride as being a virtue. And the call of Jesus Christ, as the apostles had heard that call, was so opposite, and what the apostles spread was so contrary to the Gentile world. Just a brief parenthesis for evangelism, just a brief parenthesis. The church must not find where there's similarities between themselves in the world. The church must show exactly the opposite, that Christ is so different from a fallen world. And so it is today. By nature, you and I join a world in a dogfight to push to the top in politics and business and in finance to get for oneself. But the body of Jesus Christ in the world is different, totally different. We are to be clothed in humility. Humility means lowliness of mind. It is a grace of an inward attitude that the Holy Spirit has created in me. It is a grace of an inward attitude toward myself and toward God and toward others. It is the opposite of sinful pride, of self-defense and self-exaltation and being filled with self and saying, "I can do this, I'm better." It is to be God-centered. It is the understanding of myself as the chief sinner for whom Christ has died and an awe over God and His grace for me. It's a mindset in which we place the interests of Jesus Christ over my own interests, Christ's will, Christ's grace, over my own will, over my own interests. Christ is preeminent. He's alone on the horizon of my life, not myself, Christ. That's humility. Humility is to say, I can't, but Christ can. Not my will. Not what I want. Not about me, but about Christ. Willingly and happily, I am at the lowest point of importance. But Christ, and the glory of my God in Him, that's important. It makes the child of God shine out in this world. Now note with me that this is a command. It is an imperative. Be clothed with humility. And then verse 6, humble yourself. Note that it is a command. This is how you're supposed to get dressed in the morning. Spiritually, this is what you must put on. You must put it on. We know that a little child, 1 and 2 years old, can't get dressed by themselves. You have to dress them. And then later on, they go to the next stage that you can put the clothes out for them, and they get them out. You don't let them pick it out. You pick it out for them, and they will put it on. But when you become older, you clothe yourself. You make a deliberate choice. And so the grace of God calls us as those given to Christ. He calls us now in that grace, put off pride. Don't put that on in the morning. Put it off. Be clothed in humility. That word clothed is a word referring to an apron. Many of us perhaps remember our mothers even wearing dresses during the week, but our mothers wearing these aprons. An apron. An apron is the attire of a servant. A velvet cloak and a crown is the attire of a queen. Jesus says, but you put on an apron. A servant, a slave, one who does not exist for themselves but for their master, one who does not have a personal agenda but the interests of Christ in my life, one whose life is all bound up with the master's will. So it is with us. A Christian has no existence of himself but in Christ. A Christian's existence is his master's will. That is what we are. That is what it is to be saved. And so Peter says, put on, clothe yourself, take the servant's apron and put that on in the morning. I'd like to point out yet two things in this what to put up, clothed with humility, two things yet. I would like to point out to us that this call to be clothed with humility is the beginning of our spiritual life. It's the very first step. And humility must be in every step thereafter if we are to grow spiritually. It must be in humility. What's the first thing, the first step that grace teaches us in the Christian life? What's the first lesson? Humility. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, the first beatitude in which he would describe the citizens of the kingdom of heaven, says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poor in spirit. Jesus is saying, nobody enters into my kingdom with a swagger. But their first step is humble. They are poor in spirit. We are bankrupt. We have no capital spiritually. We have nothing to recommend ourselves, we have no strength. The next beatitude is, blessed are they that mourn. We weep about it. We are beggars. Not just a poor person, but the term was begging poor. Begging poor. So poor, you put your hand out because you don't have anything. You are dependent totally upon an other. And so it is with us. We are dependent. We are poor in spirit. We're dependent upon His mercy, His righteousness, His riches. Everything that we are, we owe to Him, our blessed Savior. We enter into the kingdom of heaven humble. And every step afterwards in the growth of Jesus in grace is a step in humility. We enter in humility and we make progress spiritually with humility. Are you making progress spiritually? Are you growing? Every step must be in humility. Ephesians 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner or the slave of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation, of the calling with which you are called. Paul says, I beseech you to work, to walk in your Christian walk of life. You need to walk the walk. How? With all lowliness of mind, with long suffering, forbearing one another. How do we make progress in that life that is of Jesus Christ? How do we go on in our Christian calling? With all humility. With all humility. Not partial humility. Not mostly humble. The Christian walk, the Christian's growth in peace and fruits and faith is a walk in humility. Those fruits of faith do not grow in the acid or alkaline soil of pride, but it grows in the fertile soil of humility. When our hearts are hardened in pride, we are barren of spiritual fruit. And so the Spirit has repeated three times, humility, humility, humility. Now I want to show you from this passage that Peter is going to the heart of it. We're going to the heart of what humility is. He says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. That's it. Humility is to bow before God. God who is God. But to bow in trust and love and submission to God's gracious will or hand. The only way to be humble is to be humble before God. We cannot be humble to somebody else if we're not humble to God. Just before Verse 5, Peter has called us to be in submission to each other in the body of Christ. And we would say humanly that there are certain people that it is easy for us to relate to and to be nice to them and to humble ourselves before them, but that there are lots of different kinds of children of God, and some we would judge with an abrasive personality or with quirks and temperaments. And we find it very hard to humble ourselves before them. The saying the little poem you might be acquainted with, to live up above with those that we love, that will be glory. To live here below with those that we know, well, that's a different story. How do we humble ourselves? We must humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Peter draws this figure here from the Old Testament, and he's drawing it especially from Exodus and Moses, and we won't spend the time to go through that. That would be profitable for you to do. But you need to look at those passages where God says, I will stretch out my hand and will smite Egypt. And with my hand, I will not let you, Moses, go. And I will divide the Red Sea. God's hand, his mighty hand, the stretching forth of his hand is God's supreme, free, absolute exercise of sovereignty over all things according to the good pleasure of his own heart. For he is God. He's God. And there is none other. He said to Moses, you may be intimidated by Pharaoh, but I am not. Pharaoh's not going to listen to you, Moses. He won't listen to you, but he will listen to me when I stretch out my hand against Egypt. The hand of God is his unrivaled sovereign power to do that which he pleases. Not, we know, in Jesus Christ. Look at the cross. Not arbitrarily. That hand is over us in its sovereignty, but it's over us in its love and wisdom and power. But it is his hand. It is his hand. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. The heart that bows in wonder and in awe before God who is, not before me, but before God, and has a trusting confidence that this mighty God loves me freely and is intent on doing me good. This is humility. I will go where he sends me. I will do what he wills me to do. I will follow his bidding. I will trust him day after day. I will cast aside myself and humble myself under the mighty hand of God. Focused on God, on his will. That's humility. Clothe yourself with this. Why? Well, here's the reason. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Two reasons. He resists the proud, he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, that he may exalt you in due time. Why can't I do my own thing? Why mayn't I call my own shots? Why must I not run my own life? Why can't I do what I want? Why can't I rely on myself? I can't rely on anybody else. Why not rely on me? Reasons. God resists the proud, and God gives grace to the humble. Sometimes, beloved, and this is one of those times, sometimes the Christian life is not hard to understand. This is not hard to understand. But sometimes the Christian life for the flesh is hard to swallow. Reason number one, God resists the proud. That's a reason that God is giving. Now, this is God's condescension. Because He is God, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. If He would say, give us no reason, that would be sufficient. That would be totally sufficient. Something like a parent who would respond, do it because I told you to. But God condescends in His love and grace to us, and He says, and this is why. This is why. Because the way of pride is the way of destruction. The way of pride will be the way of hurt. The way of pride will be the way of loss of God's presence. The way of humility will be the way of His grace. God is speaking. God is speaking plainly. God is not speaking here per se to the wicked. Yes, He is opposed. God is opposed to the pride and the wickedness of this world. Yes, He is opposed to it. But He's not speaking to them. He's speaking right here to me and to you. God will be opposed to me when I take it into my hand. When I say, no, no, there's fairness, it's my turn now. What about my feelings? I'm going to call the shots on this one. When I talk that way, I am plagued with pride. And God will oppose me. God will oppose me. God will dig in His heels against a proud spirit. When there is something in me with God, it's my pride. God will oppose me. Do you want that? I'm going nowhere fast. Nothing of eternal significance is taking place in my life. My prayer life will have gone. Everywhere I look, there will be no peace. I won't be able to say the words of David in Psalm 4, verse 8, I will lay me down in peace and sleep, for Thou, Lord, keepest me in safety. But I will be saying the words of David in Psalm 32, I found trouble and sorrow. God will not allow me to know His peace and His strength if I elevate myself. But God gives grace to the humble. Do you want God's grace? Well, God does not pour out this soft and wonderful grace upon a rock, but He pours out oceans of it into that which is humble. Grace here is God's power. As the apostle refers to it, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Grace here is what I am by the grace of God, the grace of God enabling us, the grace of God's power to work in us, to actually work in us. It is the power of the Holy Spirit to actually work in us and to work in us to will and to do His good pleasure. That's God's grace. It's the grace that comes from the strong right hand of God. It will enable me to do the calling that He gives me to do. It will. It will enable me. God will help me. He will help the humble. And He will exalt you, says Peter, in due time. That is, He will lift you up. Exalt, lift up. It means to be lifted up from my suffering, from my trial, from the strong, strong difficulties of my life. Clothe yourself in humility, and God will exalt you in due time. His time. The proper time. The time He put on His schedule for His glory. He will pull you out. He will exalt you in due time. We say, Lord, how? And He says, cast all your anxieties on me, for I care for you. That's how. As we are under the trial, and as we cry out to God, this is what God says you must do. You must cast your anxieties on Him, for He cares for you. But now the connection is, verse 7 to the rest, is that it is only humility that will give us to do that. Pride does not cast our anxieties on God. It doesn't do that. It looks to ourselves to solve our own problems, to be our own strength. The only person who's going to cast anxiety on God is the person who by grace is going to say, Lord, I can't. I can't do this. I don't have those resources. I don't have anybody to help me. But God. The grace of humility gives us to cast our burdens upon the Lord with the promise that the Lord will sustain me. He will never suffer the righteous to fall. He will never do that. Cast. Now that word cast is not a gentle moving of a box, but it's to throw it. It's to fling it like a hot potato. You throw it away. You throw your anxieties away. Fling them on God. Discouragements and fears and despair and the thing that is pressing upon your spiritual heart and soul that you can't breathe. The thing that is pulling you in all kinds of directions to bring anger and sorrow and self-pity. You've come to the breaking point. You're about to snap. You can't go on. Cast it on the Lord in prayer. And let us not, even before we say the word amen, and we need to pray for grace, even before the word amen, don't be picking them back up. And then after your prayer, don't be going around to pick up everything that you have cast off. God is speaking here very emphatically, very decisively. Cast it. Cast your anxieties. All your anxieties. And we've got lots of them. We're a little sheep, and we're scared by a bolt of lightning or by thunder. It only takes a phone call. It only takes an email. It only takes a text. It only takes a rumor. It only takes a look. And we are obsessed, literally obsessed. And we can't think of anything else. And we can't get it out of our mind. We have so many anxieties. But we have a great, great shepherd, and he calls us to cast our cares upon him. And he can, and he will carry them all. The thing that is troubling you this morning, and every one of us carries a load of anxiety, clothe yourself with humility and cast it on God, and he will sustain you, for he careth for you. And that's really amazing, because that word careth for you, he careth for you, is the same word. Cast all your care, anxieties upon him, for he is anxious for you. Now we know that with God there is no such thing as a sinful anxiety. He is not desperate, but he uses the same word. God cares for you. That's not just a flippant cares for you. God says, in the proper way now, I am obsessed. As you know what it is to be obsessed in a weak and sinful way, I am perfectly intent. I am always intent in my caring for you. I understand. I know exactly. I've given